The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to another postgame with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. My co-hosts for this one are going to be Doug Aitchison and Terry Cushman Jr. Cushman at MLB and D. Aitchison 23. That's Aitchison. The Boston Red Sox are able to salvage this series behind Crochet Day. 12 strikeouts behind your AL Cy Young. I'm going to go ahead and say it again. What are your first takeaways, Dougie, from this game?
That we needed it really bad. And, you know, even before Crochet was, you know, he struck out two in the first. And then, you know, and then our bats immediately supported him, immediately got going. It's like the whole team, you know, this team has been resilient all year long. And it feels like they really know, you know, it should have came last game, but it came today, that when they really, really need a win, they seem to get it. They seem to pull together and they seem to get it. And Crochet was amazing tonight. So 12 Ks. I think they said he had 21 swing and misses. That's just really dealing that. He had his stuff tonight. That the sweeper was just dying off the plate. You know, he got, you know, a couple home runs still, which is, you know, alarming, not alarming, but you know, it's, he's been, that's has been his problem so far, but we had, we gave him a lot of support right off the bat. And even seeing him pitch in those first two innings, it felt like we gave him enough runs immediately. It felt like he had it going.
All right. 6 runs right away. I mean, that's going to be pretty bad. If you're Garrett Crochet and you blow a 6 run lead, that's not good. Terry, takeaways.
I think I got a new nickname for Garrett Crochet.
Okay.
The fire department, because when everything's up in flames, he shows up and just puts it out. That's because I mean, if you lose tonight's game, I mean, yeah, you got Oakland coming in. You did drop the last game, but you know, it's not good. And you're only 2 games up from the Rangers right now. And what's going on in that AL West is wild. I mean, you've got the Mariners now in the division lead, Houston as the third wild card. It's crazy how you can go from division lead to third wild card in one game. That's insane. And then one game under the Astros, you have the Texas Rangers. And guess who's only one game back from the Texas Rangers?
Cleveland. Well, half a game is Cleveland.
Cleveland Guardians. Yeah. So this is going to be a wild sprint to the finish here. I don't know what's going to happen, but tonight you put up 6 runs. They were all in the first inning. Something was wrong with Will Warren. I don't know what it was. The Red Sox got, I don't want to say lucky, but you know, they punched through a couple of soft hits that, you know, if they were a little different, they might not have gotten through. Carlos Narvaez hit an absolute piss missile out to straightaway center. That was a really hard hit ball. But yeah, it just seemed like they caught Will Warren sleeping, and those 6 runs were all that they needed. And, you know, the Yankees don't want to have an inning like that when it's Garrett Crochet that's going to be coming out onto the mound because he's a tough guy to get it off of. And then lastly, probably the most pivotal part of the game, I thought, was when Garrett Whitlock in the eighth inning got that strike three call on Stanton. It was a little below the zone, technically a ball, not an egregious call by the umpire. I mean, you know, a lot of strikes do get called with a pitch like that. But, you know, if Stanton works the walk or just simply ripped a single there, anxiety goes through the roof that inning. And but he got the call, and then he got the next out. And Chapman did his thing. He hasn't looked sharp the last couple of times. But man, it was a wild weekend.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You go through the first two, you look punchless. I mean, this team just looks gutted. And you're getting no hit by Luis Gil. Six innings have gone through, and you end up getting your first run because of a solo shot by Eaton in the seventh inning. That was game one. Game two, also gutting. You're just not there. And Jazz Chisholm is big poppying. He's just staring at home runs now, and he's not that guy. I'm sorry. You're not that player where you can sit there for 5 minutes and just admire your home runs. I don't give a damn where you are, unless you're at home, in which case then there's no rules. But yesterday they were talking about this in the third game when Chapman threw the ball behind like everybody and he starts going to home base. And Jazz Chisholm is the type of person to chirp. He didn't say a word when Chapman was getting there. That's one of the few players in Major League Baseball. You just shut your damn mouth. And he had his way with him today. I mean, I don't care that he hit 100 plus off the bat. It doesn't matter. We have the best closer in all of baseball. And, you know, I don't care that he gave up a run. I mean, the guy was perfect for almost two full games worth of baseball from the reliever's point. It just wasn't great. Yes, his ERA is over 1.2. I don't care. I'm really happy that the Red Sox are at least able, you know, to salvage this series. You have your starter who's averaging two strikeouts an inning. And then the rest of your relievers, you know, they almost did the same thing. Whitlock strikes out three, Chapman strikes one out. Mats didn't get any strikeouts. He's not really a strikeout guy, and that's okay. You know, on paper, you had eight innings, 16 strikeouts, not counting Mats. I would love to see that kind of performance on a regular and consistent basis. Unfortunately, that's just not going to happen. But I think Kershaw has reestablished himself as your AL Cy Young. I mean, this is what you expect from your bulldog, and that's this guy. He's going to go out there, throw 99, 100, 110 pitches, give you 6 to 7 innings. He'll allow a couple of runs, but he's going to strike out 10 plus. This is vintage Garrett Crochet. And Dougie, I don't know how many swings and misses there were, to be honest. I didn't keep track. There were a lot, but that's the type of guy that he is. You know, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball, if not the best. You know, everyone remembers what Spencer Strider was able to do, and then he got injured again, and he looks like a shadow of his former self. Garrett Crochet is only getting better. Spencer Strider looks like he might be done, which is insane. 2 years ago, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Now, over. Garrett Crochet, only getting better.
100%. And I think I was on after the A's, the last game of the A's series, and me and I think it was Jason was saying that when you win the series but you lose the last game, it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And then in this one, we do the opposite, and it's, you know, you still lose the series, but you kind of feel like you put something together there at the end. And, you know, if we lose that game, I mean, it's doom and gloom. It's you know, but so it feels a little bit better that we can put together, you know, not just a 1-0 win or a 2-0 win, you know, a good win. You know, we score some runs, the bats look all right. And, you know, when you put together, you know, when your lineup finally looks all right and then your ace comes and pitches like your ace, you know, it feels good to watch a game like that. And it feels like, you know, all right, maybe we can salvage this game, salvage the series now, move on, you know, get the lineup going a little bit because we really needed this down the stretch here.
Terry, what's your feeling coming out of this series? Like, do you think, okay, great, like this is the right direction? Or are you thinking, you know, at the end of the day, we still have a mountain to climb here? You know, we did lose a game overall against the Yankees. We need to make that up at the very minimum.
I'm not feeling great about you know, how we're setting up here for October. You know, we, like I said in my opening take, we put up a big inning. It was nice to see. It took the pressure off. But, I mean, nobody's really heating up right now. Except for maybe Duran could be showing some signs, actually. He did have that leadoff triple, had a pinch hit home run last night in the second game of the series. Got it to within one run. Unfortunately, the Yankees held on. But I don't know. I mean, we're really fortunate that it's Oakland and Tampa this week. Tampa's ice cold as well. They've lost a ton of games recently. And but you had your three best pitchers lined up for this weekend. You had Giolito, Bayo, and Crochet, and only Crochet got the win. The other two didn't look great, but they didn't get run support either. So you're just really fortunate to basically, you're just really fortunate to have the Oakland A's. How would you feel right now if this was the Toronto series we're going into and you got
not good?
You got, yeah, you got though. Exactly.
No, not good. And truth be told, like, you already mentioned the fact that Houston went from being first to now the third wild card team. I don't want to face Seattle. I don't want to face Houston right now. There are certain teams right now in baseball that I want no part in. And if you're the Red Sox, that's not a safe and fun, cozy place to be, because you do have to face Detroit. That's going to happen. You do have to face Toronto. That's going to happen. And then you're hoping that you can take, again, a minimum 2 out of 3 against Oakland. And you're hoping you can probably do the same against Tampa Bay. You need to win 4 of the next 6. Terry, you and I, when we were on last time, we had one more game against Oakland and the 3-game set against the Yankees. And you and I both said, you know what? Taking 3 out of 4, that seems possible. That seems like a good feeling. Worst case scenario, you go 2-2. You lost 3 in a row. So already, not only is the final game against the Yankees a must-win game, we didn't hit the expectation of bare bones going 2-2. We do have a day off. We're not playing tomorrow, which is great. Thank God. But you then have 6 straight, 3 Oakland, and then 3 in Tampa. There's no days off there. So I don't feel as warm and fuzzy as I once did, because I was really hoping you win minimum 3 of those 4. Again, bare bones, you win 2 of those 4 and you split. But there are a lot of people right now that are saying, you know, we're not feeling very good about this, and a third wild card spot does seem possible. And honestly, a week, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, nah, I don't think that's possible. The fact that the Houston Astros, the Rangers, the Guardians, who are knocking on the door, you got 3 teams that are fighting. I'm not really concerned about Kansas City, to be honest. I'm not concerned about Tampa Bay. Obviously, they're way out. Athletics are way out too. But I mean, what should have been like an almost feeling like a lock. I don't remember if it was Chris or Nick that said some of those games in April that you didn't win, now you're looking back at those games where you made some poor decisions and you lost those games. I've been saying this for months. We are not a team that can afford to make dumb mistakes. Nate Eaton getting thrown out at third, dumb mistake. You can't do that. Getting caught stealing in any situation at this point, dumb mistake. We would have been in a better spot against the Yankees in one of those games if you're not trying to steal second base. You try to steal second base, you get thrown out. The very next batter gets on base. Instead of runners at first and second, maybe runners at the corners with one out, you now have a runner at first with one out or runner at first with 2 outs. You're shooting yourselves in the foot with dumb decisions and dumb choices. This isn't analytics. This is just dumb baseball by a team that on paper has to be perfect because it can't afford to make mistakes.
Yeah, I feel like we're you're totally right. And I think we kind of have to be banking on now that the Tigers aren't going to be playing for anything in that last series. And maybe they're sitting their guys, maybe they won't start school if he's in line. And maybe we can, you know, really just get some easy games out of those for the last series, because we're going to have to win all we can win now. It's really going to, it's really you can't really afford, you know, a losing series. You can't really afford a lot of stuff here. Really, you need to win the majority of your more than the majority of your games, you know. And that Detroit series looks big. And if it's if they've already locked up, you know, they'll lock up their division. But if they've already locked up the one seed, maybe, or maybe they know they won't get the one seed and they're locked in the two seed, maybe, you know, it'll be an easy series for us.
Terry.
You just need to get hot again offensively. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the most glaring problem. And I mean, if you're another team coming in, who are you afraid of on the Red Sox?
Roman. Sorry. Forget that.
Romy.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that crazy? Like Romy Gonzalez. I mean, here's the thing. Honestly, I would say Trevor Story, because he's been a relatively consistent player all season for us. He's been one of our MVPs, if not the MVP. Bregman finally hit a home run. I couldn't believe it. It's been 30 days. He finally did it. August 12th to, I think it was the, you know, 12th 13th. Or 13th that he hit another one, right? It took a whole month for that to happen. He went from someone that was flirting, and whether it was him or his agents that were doing this, to, oh yeah, he's going to opt out and test free agency. There's a chance now that I think Alex Bregman says, you know what? I love Boston. I want to come back. Everybody in Boston knows what's going on there. Trevor Story is the guy you should be worried about. This guy is going to end up in the 25 to 30 home run range, and he's going to end up with the 95 to 100 RBI range. And there's going to be a team that would probably be willing to pay him or give him a little bit extra money than what the Red Sox are right now. And Terry, I think you mentioned this before on a prior episode, and I can't recall which one. I can't recall who the other hosts were, but I'm pretty sure it was you saying it. If the Red Sox make the playoffs, whether we get far or we do not, the front office, John Henry and friends, are going to think, this is a good product. We don't need to put too much more money in it because we're getting to the playoffs. And people are buying seats. People are buying game tickets. People are buying beer and hot dogs and all that crap. If that ends up being the case, and we do not go out and buy another starting pitcher, and you do not beef up the bullpen, and you don't get a, gee, I don't know, catcher and first baseman, this could be a very disappointing upcoming 2026 season. And I know we're not even there yet, but it sucks to feel like, okay, well, we don't really have backups like other teams do. There are other teams that have entire like first line and second lines of starters like the Dodgers. And we have almost the same record that they do. And they have a $300 million payroll. The Mets have a $300+ million payroll, and they got swept by the Phillies. And so if I'm John Henry and I'm sitting there saying, wow, we didn't get swept by that team and we didn't spend that much money. We thank God we didn't spend $300 million. I mean, what do you think else would be going through John Henry's mind if we make the playoffs? If we don't, I think there's a pretty good shot that Breslow does get fired. But if he doesn't, they're going to say, oh, no, he's still sculpting and we're still working on our Mona Lisa for 2026 and 2027. But I think there is some room to be a little bit concerned. We're not there yet.
Well, I mean, you just go back to last winter. The two bats you added, one Bregman and two Narvaez. And Narvaez was supposed to be a backup. Connor Wong was your catcher all right. Throughout spring training and throughout
the month. Saw how well that turned out.
He was your catcher. So he only added two bats. I'm not giving him any credit for Narvaez. He didn't see this coming. We didn't see it coming. It worked out okay. It hasn't worked out super great in the second half. But all he did was really add Bregman. And then he added zero hitters at the deadline. Okay. So, yeah, I am a little bit worried that John Henry, Sam Kennedy will be like, yeah, this is great. Let's not spend any money on bats, really.
Let's run it back.
Let's pocket that Bregman money. Well, he's opting in. I've already decided he's opting in. And so I haven't been fighting people on social media lately, on Twitter especially. I think the smarter fans in the fan base, I think they know, you know, we're kind of skating. We overachieved a little. We got ourselves tentatively into a playoff spot, but I think they know this is not the team of destiny. It's not built to go deep. You look at that. You look at that 2021 team that I kept trying to compare this to. That team had Rafi Devers. This team should too, but the 21 team definitely had him. Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez, Christian Vasquez was still pretty good. Alex Verdugo had a very good season and postseason that year, by the way. I know I'm forgetting one more really super key player here. I forget who it could have been, but that team on paper looks way better than this one does. And so that's just so bad that we're in this position. And if we drop 2 out of 3 against Oakland, I don't know what's going to happen in that series. We destroyed Jeffrey Springs last time, and that's who we have tomorrow. So,
yeah, dropping 2 out of 3 to Oakland will be disastrous.
It would be like
It got uncomfortable
really fast.
Yeah, it did. You're right. And I'm, you know, I was kind of the guy that's, you know, optimistic about it and feeling really good most of, and I'm, you know, I'm not there anymore. It happened that fast.
Sucks. Yeah, that sucks to say, and it sucks to feel that way. Like when you look back at it, I'm sitting there like, you know, we're not in a place where we need to be too worried. And then another loss happens and it's, you know, this player goes down and it is a cause for concern. They're talking about the numbers with and without Roman Anthony and how much of a difference him in the lineup made. We were set. We were going. We were going to be top seed. We were running it, maybe going for the division. And now it's, okay, well, great. Now you're hoping for a wild card. You're 5.5 games away from Toronto. They're 7-3 in their last 10. They've had 4 wins in a row. Meanwhile, the Red Sox are scuffling. We're 4-6 in our last 10. We lost 3 in a row, so you lost all that ground. If I'm sitting there as Toronto, I'm not worried about the Red Sox, and I'm not worried about the Yankees. I'm not worried about either one of those teams. The Red Sox would have to sweep Toronto, and even then, if I'm Toronto, I'm still not worried. Like, that's crazy to say right now with, you know, 12 games to go. It's just, it's unreal. I didn't think I would say this. I mean, we've already finished the season with 82 wins, so we're already finishing above 500. There are some people that thought no way this was going to happen. One of our former, you know, bench guys was saying 72, 74 wins. That was us a couple years ago. I get it, but we were destined for a lot more success. We're hoping that a lot of those players are going to take a step up. Trevor Story was going to come and be better this year than last year. Way stepped up in relation to what we thought. Some of the young kids, we're hoping some of them were going to be here. I don't think anybody in a million years thought that Rafi Devers was going to be gone and we're actually heading to the playoffs. The Giants, I don't know where they are right now, but I don't think they're a lock to get in just yet. They still have some work to do. You know, the Mets, as insane as it is, they're fighting for a wild card spot. $340 million payroll. They're fighting, which is nuts.
They just lost, what, 7 in a row?
A dumb number in a row. Yeah. I mean, you can't be the Mets and lose that like that. That's embarrassing. If you're the owner of that team, you got to be embarrassed. And, you know, Terry, as much and as thankful as I have been for Alex Bregman, him re-signing with the Red Sox or opting into that contract, that $40 million could have gone towards Schwarber, could have gone towards, you know, another possible big bat that we would need. I mean, there would have been a lot more options. And I get it. Left-handed bat, Fenway Park. We got a lot of lefties, but dude, you're going to say no to Kyle Schwarber? No. We've already seen what he can do.
So Kyle Schwarber was the player I couldn't think of a minute ago when I was reading off Xander Bogaerts.
Oh, yeah, right.
JD
right,
Martinez, yeah. Rafi Devers. Yeah. Yeah. That was dumb. And he hit 291 with a 435 on base in that stint that he had with us. I've got some bad news. I've been listening to some Phillies podcasts. I've been seeing some stuff elsewhere. Gosh, where we're staying in Philly. Yeah, that's what's most likely going to happen. Yeah. So for all of us that are hoping to have a reunion, it's probably a long shot. So that's kind of a bummer there. And the Giants, led by Rafi Devers, I don't know if he leads the team, probably not, but let's just say it to piss off Red Sox fans. They're only one game above 500, but they're only 1.5 games out of that third spot, and the Mets occupy that spot, and they can't stop losing. So the Giants can literally make the playoffs with a 500 record, possibly. Diamondbacks are very quietly sneaking back into it, though. They're only a game behind the Giants. So we'll see. All you need is one of those teams to step up. I'll say this. I've kind of said it previously. I'm glad we didn't sign Juan Soto.
Oh, my God. That would have been awful. That would have been terrible.
He does not look like a very positive influence in a clubhouse by the looks of it.
Yeah, he's, you know, he got $1 billion and he doesn't look happy to be there.
I don't know. I mean, I think he makes Rafi Devers look like, you know, Rob Ref Snyder or someone who's a really good leader. I don't know. Devers wasn't a clubhouse cancer like people are trying to allude to. The Bresbians will clutch to that, but yeah. Honestly, I don't know how it's going to go. This season's unpredictable. They'll surprise you in spots and they'll rip your heart out in others. But yep. I don't think Peyton Tolley looks like a major leaguer right now. I think he needs to cook a little bit more in Worcester, you know, maybe another half season and then he'll truly be ready. I don't know what to expect from Connolly early. He has had the better start of the two. And Giolito actually looked pretty good on Friday. So maybe that's the one bright spot going forward.
I'm hoping that at this point from here on out, I mean, the Red Sox, if they can play 500 baseball, we get to 88. I mean, it'd be nice to get to 89 or 90. I'm shocked to say this, but 88 actually does seem like a believable number again. And I thought, you know what? I undershot it. I think the Red Sox might finish like 90, 91. 88 seems possible again. And what's sad about 88 is that even with 88, you might miss, which is crazy. And I mean, honestly, the teams that are starting to get hot now, I don't think anybody thought they were going to start to get hot. I don't think anybody thought Seattle was going to go on a run like they did. I don't think anyone thought that the Houston Astros were going to lose the division. Texas starting to get hot right now. I think, guys, the Red Sox might have just peaked at the wrong time, and then the injuries all hit us at the wrong moment. Plus, you've DFA'd players that are doing well in other teams, and you didn't DFA other players that are still not really moving the needle for you. So, I mean, Walker Buehler, I know I was probably the only guy that was really a supporter of Walker. He did well in his first game as a member of the Phillies, struck out three. I think you guys talked about it one of the recent shows. 5 innings, struck out 3, allowed 1 earned run. He did his job from like a, you know, a fifth starter. Unfortunately, wasn't doing that as a member of the Red Sox. So like what, how did we not get it right with Walker Buehler? Did we mess him up or was he just not good? I don't know. I mean, it sucks. It sucks that here we are worried about possibly missing the playoffs. It's going to come down to the final series. The next 9 games, I'm not going to say that they don't matter, but what I will say is that they won't have nearly as much of an effect as the final 3. Now, if you go 9-0 in your next 9, more power to you. Is that going to happen? No. Will we go 6-3? Probably not. I'm hoping we go 5-4, maybe. There's a chance that maybe we get lucky. I don't know. I don't know how you feel, Doug, about the next 9.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, I said before, if hopefully Detroit has nothing to play for, you know, but and that is, you know, it possible. But these next 9 are your whole season, really. It's just, I mean, it's just everything. Like, because you have to beat, like we said, with the Rays and the A's. I think really it comes down to that. If you can take care of business in the teams that you really need to with these A's and Rays, then I think if we can win, you know, 5 out of 6, create, you know, that's at 4 out of 6, then you're sitting in a, we'll be feeling okay heading in, heading into the Toronto series. But I'm not, you know, that's not a guarantee, you know, even though these teams aren't that great, that's not a guarantee with the way we're playing right now. You know, we put up 6 runs tonight, but we only put up 4 of the 2 games before combined. You know, so if they can find their line, you know, hopefully what we would really need to see is the lineup catch some fire against the Rays and A's, you know, beat up on these teams that we can, and, you know, have some momentum going into the Jays series and going into the final series. That's really, you know, what I would like to see, what we really, really need. And then, you know, you're right. It might, you know, if we can just play good baseball these last 9 games, it might really come down to those last 3.
Terry, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, so the bad news about Detroit is they're only 3 games up on the 3rd seed, which is the Mariners right now. So they absolutely have something to play for if they want to have a first-round bye. Toronto has the best record in the American League right now, and I don't know who's better between Detroit and Toronto. I'd say Toronto definitely has the better pitching, even though, you know, Detroit does have Skubal, who I think is going to make his next start after leaving the other game early. So looks like Skubal dodged a bullet there. And Houston bears watching because they have to play the Rangers and the Mariners this week, and then their schedule gets a little easier. I've got Texas's schedule up right now. Wow, they have – well, they have the Astros, as I just said. Then they have the Marlins, who aren't like pushovers, but that's a team that the Rangers should be able to take care of. Then they have the Twins and then the Guardians. So I think Texas is going to get in. I don't know if it'll be at our expense or Houston's expense, but they're going to get in, I think, with that schedule. And how has Oakland done in the last few games here? Let's see. Oakland's
done okay. I mean, they've won four in a row.
Yes, absolutely. So I don't like that. So I have no idea how this season's going to end. That's
going to come down to the final series.
Yeah,
it's just going to come down to the final 3. So that being said, let's just get into our predictions to the best of our ability. You know, coming down the line, we have a TBD starter for Game 1. I think it's going to be Conley early going up against Jeffrey Springs. I don't know why you would mess with it if it worked out really well the first time. That was the second game of the 3-game set, if I'm not mistaken. The Red Sox won 6-0 behind Conley early. They gave him some run support. He absolutely shoved in his first game, tied a Red Sox opening day record as a rookie with 11 punchouts. So I don't know why you would shift from that. Game 2, we got Tolley going up against a TBD for them. And then the 3rd game, we got Giolito against Ginn on their team, JT Ginn, who's not great. So we, again, should be taking 2 of 3 minimum in this series. You can't not take 2 out of 3.
Unacceptable.
Exactly. Dougie, what do you think is going to happen for this series? Do you think we win 2 out of 3? Do you think we sweep?
I do. I think they're going to show some urgency. Hopefully we see early. You know, I'd really like to see him. And I don't know what to think about Tolley. I don't know if they're just having him do opener stuff and do bullpen games when he's pitching. And
right.
I don't know what their plan is, but I would like to see early again for sure in that first game. And, I mean, he earned another start. So I don't know why, like you said, I don't know why we wouldn't start him. So, you know, I think we are going to win 2 out of 3 just because anything else is unacceptable. And I think they know that too.
Terry.
You know, it should be early that pitches, but I wouldn't rule out Kyle Harrison either. And I'm not seeing anything announced right now. So
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that either. I'd like to see him.
Well, whoever doesn't start game one better be available in the bullpen. And then if they're not pitching that game, they better be coming in game two when Toley only goes three plus innings. I mean, he's falling in love with the fastball. I mean, the percentage difference between fastball and everything else is insane. He's primarily a fastball pitcher. They know that he's going to throw a lot of gas because he sometimes can't locate the off-speed stuff. And if I'm the opposing hitters, I'm just sitting fastball. I'm waiting because I know the off-speed stuff probably isn't going to be a strike. And teams made the adjustment.
I'm going to say the Red Sox. I don't know. Because Springs is better than his last start, which was against us, where he gave up five runs over five innings. So, I don't know.
You think we take two, T?
I think we take two. I just can't make up my mind on which two. One of them is definitely the third game with Giolito.
Yeah,
I feel pretty good about that.
If you blow that, oh my God.
But I think Springs is going to be better. And Oakland does have a pretty good bullpen, don't they? If I'm not mistaken.
I mean, when I compare bullpens, I'm like, okay, cool. How does this match against San Diego? San Diego has an absolute juggernaut of a bullpen. They're okay. I mean, I feel like most teams have a couple guys in their pen that you can beat. I'll look at their guys right now. I'm not scared by their bullpen.
Yeah,
Newcomb in there. I know that much, and he's fun. I'm happy to see him in there because he was great. I'm sad that he's not with us anymore. He's done phenomenally. I mean, he's like Oakland's version of Aroldis Chapman, where he's allowing hits here and there, but I mean, he can also strike out the side. So he does have that ability as well. That was a big miss. It's so disappointing that we don't have him anymore. Just a big, big miss.
One team we played recently had, like, shockingly a very good bullpen. Yeah, well, it had to have been the Athletics. They've got the fifth. Oh, that's in terms of strikeouts. So they're fifth in all of MLB in terms of strikeouts, and it won't let me do a time frame on it, so I can't look at the last month. But I'm not super comfortable here because, like I said, we blew through our best three pitchers in this series, and we're only getting Giolito among them at the tail end. So. Springs, I'm a little nervous about that one. I'm not going to lie. I just think he knows what he did wrong last time. He's probably going to make adjustments. Nobody on the Red Sox lineup got hot over the weekend, let's face it.
Right.
So I'll still say two out of three, but I'm just copping out big time. I'll say loss in game one and then wins in games two and three.
Oh God, that's so stressful to lose the first one and then be forced to win the next two. I mean, you feel pretty good about the third one. There's a lot of pressure on that second one then. I mean, I think it's going to be win, loss, win. That's kind of how I view it. So there's nothing else, that is going to do it for the Bastards of Boston Baseball. If you're interested in checking out some great daily written articles, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com is where you need to go. Go Sox. Everyone have a great one. Take care.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.